not be found. So right now, please, would you just check to make sure that your cell phone is turned off? There's nothing more disrespectful or irritating than cell phones going off in worship services, especially even when some answer them. You see, one of the problems that you and I all face with cell phones is poor reception from time to time. There are certain places around here in this country, if you go down certain hills, once in a while if you go down the hill down Harnett Central Road in that valley down there close to Kim's, it quits. Sometimes if you're on Christian Light Road and there's a certain place over there for like you're going to Ray and Billy's, you go around a curve and down in that little valley, you get cut off. There are certain places that your call just drops all of a sudden, and then, you know, if people hang on long enough, sometimes it'll pick back up, but usually mine just clicks and that's the end of it. It's not going to happen. Those things happen. We lose the signal entirely. We find ourselves sometimes straining to understand the scratchiness. Perhaps all we can hear is that scratching, sometimes the garbled. Sometimes we hear every other word that somebody is saying, or it's coming through and you're like, I have no idea what's going on. You see, this scratchiness can prevent us from hearing what we need to hear. In our scripture today that is taken from 2 Timothy, Paul warns Timothy about folks with scratchy religion. Actually, what Paul really says is that they had itching ears. They had itching ears. Their reception of sound doctrine was scratchy. It was unclear. In fact, they didn't want to hear sound doctrine, healthy teaching of the gospel message. They didn't want to hear what was truly being told to them. What they were itching to hear was not the teaching of the gospel message, but ideas that merely confirmed the beliefs and prejudice that they already had. Kind of sounds like what goes on today, doesn't it? A lot of people don't want to hear sound doctrine. They want to hear what makes them feel right. They want to hear what will confirm their beliefs and their prejudices. You know, we don't always care for sound doctrine because it might change the way that we look at something. Wow, can you imagine such a thing happening? I believe when Jesus came and talked to all those Pharisees, he came into the world and began to teach and preach throughout the Gospels, and then his teaching was taken up by several others and spread. Were the Pharisees real impressed with him? No. Because what did he do? He changed the way they had been doing things. They thought it was this way, and he said, no, let's do it this way. We don't like it when people change things on us. How good is it, think about it, that you and I don't have these problems today? Really, in this 21st century? I think not. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to say that? As we seek to be faithful in living and proclaiming the gospel, temptations to do otherwise come to us regularly. People like to take the gospel and fit it for a particular thing they're thinking about or a particular idea. And you know, that's a very dangerous thing to do, is to get this idea and to think that that's what, and then you've got to go find scripture that proves it. You know, that's not the way it is. If you find scripture, you let the scripture speak to you, and then you speak through that scripture. Allow that scripture to speak to you, and then go from there. It's called exegesis, that you exegete from God's Word. You don't go out and say, oh, I think I'll preach on this today, so let me go find all the scriptures that's going to back me up, and it's going to prove my point. That can be very dangerous. Because, you know, we can make things sound like we want them to sound. We can make it work if we look hard enough. And people will say, well, they must be true. It comes from the Bible. But how have we turned it around? You see, you and I today as Christians are engaged in a great struggle about what the gospel is and how we are going to share it with the world. How will we present the age-old message of the gospel so that folks today will pay attention? What are we going to do? To what extent, for example, will we use certain marketing and communication techniques to connect our church and the gospel with people. We do lots of things. We send out flyers. We put up flags. We put up signage. We do things so that people will pay attention. We've put up big blue things that fan and say, "Welcome." And then at the bottom, what does it say? "Worship with us," or "Come and worship," something like that. We got one out here and we got one over here at the road. Then at the main road out here, we got one that fans and says, "Kipling United Methodist Church." And the only thing that somebody has told me about it is it's in the way, I can't see. I say, "Well, go up a little bit more or back up and you can see." So the thing about it is we put it in a place where everybody else puts theirs. But think about it. Why do we do these things? Why do we try to let people know where we are? We want them to know that we're thinking. We want them to know that there's a church here. We want them to know how to get in here. We want to invite them. But the best invitation comes from who? You. You. I think there's some kind of crazy percentages out there. Signage is about 3 or 4%. The pastor's invitation, 6%. The rest of that, 90-some percent, is guess what? You. If you invite a friend, a neighbor, someone along the way, just say, "Hey, come join me at church today." That's the biggest percentage right there. That's when people are going to come. That's when people are, when you're going to do what? Start telling them about what is going on. And the easiest way to do that is to tell them your story, to tell them about yourself. You don't have to have all the right words. You don't have to know all the scripture. You don't even have to know all the stories. All you got to do is tell somebody what Jesus has done for you. What has God done in your life? Just sit down and listen and share a conversation. Sit down and take somebody to lunch. Buy them a cup of coffee or a Diet Coke or whatever they want to drink. And sit down and chat with them and find out what's going on. You see, communication is important. It's part of who we are. And we have to think about what we're doing. You know, so many times, though, we as churches want to communicate with people on 19th and 20th century methods, and we fail to seek new ways to minister. And it's like we said the other night in a meeting, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. All we're trying to do is to find a way to tell a story, a new way. And lots of times it's just going back and redoing. It's going back and thinking a little bit more outside the box. As Jonathan said the other Sunday, the youth are going outside the walls of the church. They're going out and doing things. Take somebody and go do something. Sit down with somebody. Share something other than what's going on in the world. Get in trouble when we start sharing politics and this thing, that thing. All we have to do is start sharing about what God's done in our life and tell it. You see, every generation of Christians, at their best, has sought new ways to minister. Every generation, every group of people have thought that we are the first ones to ever think of this. It's been going on since the beginning of time. We must do that again and again. At the same time, we must also be careful not to alter or even discard the gospel as we change the methods. The thing about it is there's new ways of going out and doing or whatever. People have been doing it for years. But we just have to be sure about how God's changed us and how we can share that. But we don't need to change the message, and we don't need to discard the message. We're out doing a service. We're out doing something good. You see, the gospel, what God has done in Christ Jesus for you and I, is what is unique about the church's message. We must not let ourselves get away from it. We can learn so much more about our world from the various disciplines of learning. How we discipline ourselves, how we think about what we're doing, how we sit down and read, how we study, how we take those moments. You see, they should not be a threat to our faith. We should not let things threaten our faith. Indeed, we Christians should be the leaders of encouragement. We should be the ones who are out there encouraging others to read and study and know more. At the same time, we are tapping into these resources. Let us listen and proclaim the truth of the gospel. You see, that's what Paul urged Timothy to do. You know, a few weeks ago we were in Timothy, and in chapter 4, verse 2 of today, what does he tell him? He says, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. So here, Paul is telling Timothy what to do because Timothy was young. He was a young fella. He was just a young teenager whenever he came along, whenever Paul came to his place, and he just was just wanting to learn and know so much. He was just being absorbed with it. But Paul tells him what he's got to do. He says, don't forget this. This is what you got to do. And that's what you and I are to do as well. When we do this, the gospel becomes the foundation for our lives, a foundation that cannot be shaken. You see, Paul has just finished reminding Timothy of the importance of continuing in what he had learned. He said, and learned and firmly say it. In verse 14, what does he say to him? He says, continue with what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from what and whom you learned it, and how from your childhood you have known the sacred writings that you were able to instruct salvation through the faith of Jesus Christ, through your faith in Jesus Christ. So he's told him, he reminded Timothy, he reminded him and said, don't forget from your childhood what you have known, that salvation comes. A few weeks ago, we were back in the first chapter of 2 Timothy when Paul was introducing Timothy. He did all the salutations and his thanksgiving and encouragement that he had for Timothy. And he said to him, I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers day and night. When was the last time you prayed for someone diligently day and night? When was the last time you wrote somebody's name down? Or took your bulletin home with you instead of left it in the pew that somebody else has to pick up. Just saying. And take them. That's why they're there, to take home with you. You know, people say, well, I don't know half them people. Well, neither do I. But guess what? God does. God knows them. We should pray for them. We should lift them up. We should think about those things. He says, recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. And he says to him that I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that has lived out first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And now I am sure, Timothy, that it lives within you. He says, for this reason, Timothy, I will rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of hands. You see, Paul was talking to Timothy and he's telling him, he said, you know, Timothy, you've got a great foundation. You've had that from your grandmother and your mother. These wonderful women have been there. They have taught you. They have nurtured you. You know these things. And all you have to do is just continue with that. Go back and read it again. Rekindle that faith. How good it is to be able to look back upon our childhood that included in our lives a loving guidance in spiritual matters. Let us be reminded of ourselves today, too, that as we instruct and minister to children today in our own church and in our own homes, that what we do is of eternal importance. You know, what we do on, what Vicki does down here with the kids is of eternal importance. What Angela is doing downstairs this morning and the many others that go down and work with the kids is of eternal importance. It's not all fun and games. They don't always go down there and color pictures and drink juice. They learn something. There's something that they learn. There's a nugget. There's something that they can bring out of everything. Just one thing, and that's all that they need. They don't need to learn the whole thing. They just know that something that day is important. You and I need to note, too, the founding for the instruction, the sacred writings. The sacred writings that were there, Paul tells Timothy. Timothy would have understood that these sacred writings to be what you and I know is the Old Testament. But our definitions of the sacred writings today will also include what? The New Testament. And verses 16 and 17 remind us of the significance and power of Scripture. You see, today God has called us all according to His purpose. You know, we all sometimes have scratchy religion. Got itching ears. We think that we've heard it all. We don't need to hear no more. We think we know it all. I don't know if any of y'all have ever met anybody that knows it all, but I've met a few of them in my life who think they know it all. And they like to tell you about it. But you know, none of us get there. I don't know of a soul on this earth that knows it all. I can remember years ago, I was introduced, my mom, but we were all there. It was somebody in a distant family that was married into our family, and this lady was introducing her son to everybody, and she just said, he was actually my brother-in-law's first cousin is who he is, but anyway, she was introducing him to everybody. She said, this is so-and-so, and blah, blah, blah. She said, and he is the next thing to perfect. Well, he was a grown man. And I thought, well, you don't think nothing of him. But, you know, I have yet to meet anybody who is next to perfect. We might think so, but we're not there. And God tells us we are on our way to perfection, people. We are moving towards perfection. And when is perfection accomplished? When we see Jesus. You see, today cell phone users know that they can sometimes improve reception if they get close to the window, or even get closer to the tower that sends out the signal. You know, have you ever seen people move around in their house when you're out in the middle of nowhere trying to figure something out to find a signal? They're looking at the bars and they're going, I cannot believe that I'm out here in the middle of nowhere. And you hear that noise. I can think back, not only now, but think back as a kid. How many of you grew up in the era when we had like three channels on the TV and we had rabbit ears on a TV? Oh, yeah. And if you were a child in the home, guess what your job was? Go change the channel and move that ear this way or move that thing and hold it, and then tinfoil would be put on it. Well, stand right there. That's it. Really? You know, you're doing a contortionist over here trying to get it. Well, you know, sometimes our little ears would break off and we had a clothes hanger and all kinds of mess. You know, it was just a sight. And, you know, we think about those things and we had the fuzziest reception sometimes. That's kind of how it is. That's what it's like. You know, just looking now today, we can't even hardly fathom that because there's hundreds of channels and there's nothing on them. It's just the most ridiculous. It's just, they call it entertainment. I was like, oh. And as my grandma would say, pure filth, trash, turn that mess off. Just pure filth. And she would turn it off. So, but that's it. We have lost that signal somehow, but we have to stand somewhere and see, can we find it? All we have to do, folks, is when we experience scratchy religion, those itching ears, it's time for us to once again turn to the sacred writings, God's holy word, and get a full charge of the gospel. Let us pray.